Welcome to the Weekend Report. It's FM News Talk 97.1. Zach Factor starting the show on that quiet storm. Hope everybody is doing well on this Saturday afternoon. Tony Colombo here, Zach Factor behind the board producing the show. And that is our friend Gabe Pfeiffer, who is in once again for Chris Arps. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. Good to be with you guys
again. Yeah. Chris taking one more week off. We said last week he'd be back this week, but he is still dealing with a little bit of family business. But I promise you, he will be back next week.
He shall.
And in the meantime, his job is in the good hands of our friend Gabe Pfeiffer, a.k.a. St. John the Philosopher on YouTube. Real quick, tell them about that YouTube channel, where they can find you and what you do on YouTube.
Right. So St. John the Philosopher on YouTube, just do throw a quick search in there. I've got videos on religion, culture, and politics. I do a relatively deep dive for 10 to 15 minute videos, but the most recent one we've got going there is Weaponized Victimhood, where
which is an awesome
talk
episode.
About that phenomenon in our culture and where it's leading.
Yes.
And then the one I'm working on now is going to be about how we should consume the news in the 21st century, because I think we need to work on that.
Yes. Yeah. And we will continue to talk about Gabe's YouTube show, St. John the Philosopher, as the show goes on. But definitely highly recommend that you go and check out his videos. Like you said, they are in depth, but they're only 10, 15 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not making like a long time commitment to watch a video, but you're still going to get some really smart discussion in that video.
Yeah. So we try to have a little fun. I got some movie drops in there.
Yeah, it's very well produced, very funny stuff. So go and check that out. St. John the Philosopher on YouTube. And Gabe, thanks again for joining us and filling in for Chris. And now also joining us in the studio is our friend Virginia Caruta from the Daily Caller. She's the associate editor there at the Daily Caller, and she's going to be sticking around for most of the hour with us. Thank you so much for coming in studio. Great to see you. We are going to talk to Virginia about a couple of her most recent articles in the Daily Caller surrounding the new bad word on the left, the M word, mob.
Yes.
You guys have probably seen some of this reaction to the word mob that the left has had here recently. And Virginia's got a couple of great articles in the Daily Caller talking about that. We'll get in depth into that discussion and talk about those articles in the next segment. But right now we're going to start the show the way that we do each and every week with a segment that we call The Week in Review, kind of look back at some of the biggest news stories that happened this week and kind of go through and get our thoughts on those. So we'll start with the beginning of the week, which was the fallout from the confirmation of Justice Brett Kavanaugh. Sort of started the mob, right?
Oh, no. The mob started years ago.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point.
Oh, yeah.
Many Democrats are now saying that if they can take control of the House of Representatives or the Senate and after the midterm elections, they're going to try to impeach Justice Kavanaugh. This behavior, Virginia, this strategy from Democrats, is it a good way to get votes? Are they appealing to? Are they expanding their tent with this behavior?
I think what they're trying to do, honestly, is to kind of harness the momentum that they had going into the Kavanaugh confirmation, because they had a lot of women behind them, angry and saying, "Hey, I was a victim. I identify with this." And they're on board, and they're, you know, stop Kavanaugh and that whole thing. But let's be real for just a minute. If Democrats have the votes in the House and the Senate, are they going to blow their political capital to take out Kavanaugh, or are they going for Trump?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
And to me, they're effectively using these women, using the victims that they claim to be representing.
Agreed.
Because I don't think that they'll follow through on impeaching Kavanaugh. It's not worth it.
Have they kept that momentum that they did maybe have before? Or has their behavior during the Kavanaugh proceedings and in these days afterwards, have they stopped their own momentum with their extreme behavior?
That's difficult, because a lot of their momentum wasn't from the independents, which is in a midterm who you need.
Right.
The momentum was the people who already hated Kavanaugh and already were going to believe everything that Hillary Clinton or Eric Holder or Nancy Pelosi or Feinstein, any of them, they were already going to believe them. They were already opposed to Kavanaugh, and they were already, you know, screaming on social media or in front of the Supreme Court. I don't know that it really moved the needle on the independents. And if you look at the recent polling, and Real Clear Politics is now saying that the Senate could be a red wave. We're not we're not looking at, hey, can we hang on to 51? We're looking at, hey, could we get 60? You know, they're saying 50 are safe, 44 are safe for Republicans, 44 are safe for Democrats, and there are six toss-ups that are leaning red.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a big deal. Yeah. And from what I could tell, you know, we've almost got a Kavanaugh bump in the various races where, you know, the Republicans that may not have been competitive are now competitive, and the ones that were already kind of leaning red are more red.
What do you think, Gabe? Do you so to that point, do you believe that this behavior that the Democrats have shown over the last couple of weeks has hurt them as far as expanding the tent and reaching out to, like Virginia said, the independents, the middle voters? Or has this worked, and are they going to show positive returns from this behavior when the election comes around?
Well, the suggestion from the polls seems to be that it's backfired on them, and that it's created a lot of actual momentum for the Republicans, as far as I could tell. Mm-hmm. But the best that they could hope to do, I think, from this to harness their momentum from the whole uproar is to energize the already entrenched ones to help with their ground game. So maybe you get a few more people to go knock on doors. Maybe you get a few more signups to make phone calls, which could impact the sway of the independents, because, you know, the independents are the ones who are a little squishy in terms of who they're going to go for. So it really does kind of come down to ground game strategy, impact, and just volume.
Yeah. I in my opinion, extremism is always a turnoff. So no matter what side you run all the way to, people that run all the way to the right, I would say the same thing about people that run all the way to the left, and you show this extreme position and this extreme behavior, it may embolden your core. You know, you may really fire up your base, but it does not reach out to anybody that has, you know, thoughts both ways or kind of find themselves positioned in the middle. And I just feel like the Democrats have run so far left and they've gone so freaking low that it's a turnoff for any voters out there that were kind of in the middle. Now they're kind of thinking, you know what, if that's their behavior and that's the way that they conduct themselves, I'm not sure I want them in power.
And I guess that's the other half of the ground game issue too, is that, you know, maybe as you get those more workers, you get those more phone calls, but now you're talking to people who have maybe seen the ugly side of the party.
Right.
So the response that you're actually going to get from the independents is not what, you know, going to go well for you.
Right.
You know, they've seen that the supercut of online, you know, of the mob and the defenders of the mob, and they're like, yeah, bro, I'm out.
Yeah.
To me, I think it's more about, I think you can take an extreme position if you do it in a palatable way. I mean, look at how did Bernie Sanders, I mean.
That's a good point.
He takes
That's
an extreme position and he is exceptionally popular.
Yeah.
But he behaves like a rational human being.
Right.
Most
I mean,
of the time.
His arguments aren't necessarily rational, but.
But his behavior,
saying? He doesn't.
Yeah.
He has a certain.
He doesn't incite violence.
Right.
He doesn't yell at people.
In fact, when the shooting where Steve Scalise was almost killed.
Right. The baseball practice. Yep. Yeah.
The guy who shot him
was a Bernie guy.
Yep. And Bernie said, "Look, I condemn this." He was one of the first ones to come out and say, "I condemn this."
Yep.
And what's interesting about that is you look at what the Republicans did. They let him do that.
Yeah.
They let him do that because we understand that. He's not responsible for every person who says, "I love Bernie Sanders."
Mm-hmm. Right.
But if you look at what happens on the right, what happens if you flip that?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. The flip test.
Yeah,
that's
my flip test.
One white supremacist likes Donald Trump, then clearly he's representing all
right.
of them.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Definitely.
Yeah, no. they don't have the same. Yeah, they don't give the same cover to a Republican.
The metrics are different. You have to. There's a different standard, and it's always been that way.
Why do they get away with it? Why?
Because that's what I wonder.
I scream about the flip test all the time
because they own the media.
Well, that's a good point.
Because when they do it, when you have news anchors who are upholding the double standard instead of calling it out. How are you ever going to? I mean, you have people like you that are calling it out, and you have people that, you know, on talk radio and on Fox News, and occasionally you get somebody who's, you know, willing to say something on one of the major networks, but they don't come back, you know?
Right.
It's not something
point.
That continues to happen.
Wow.
It's
a
good point.
It's true.
But yeah, the flip test, it gets,
every time.
I get some crap about always doing it, and people are like, oh, you're always doing it.
Keith Ellison.
It always, right?
Don't hurt
my
your
Keith
voice this
Ellison
time.
Just soapbox.
Don't hurt your voice this time.
Oh,
last
week I was screaming.
You blew out.
I was screaming. I had no voice left. By the time Skip Weber got here, I couldn't even talk.
And you added another, what's his name? The Stolen Valor guy, too. You added him to your soapbox.
Oh, yeah, Blumenthal.
Blumenthal, yeah.
Blumenthal, yeah, absolutely. Yes. Which are perfect examples of the flip test. Blumenthal is sitting there telling Brett Kavanaugh that if he can catch him in one lie, it proves that he's a liar about everything in his life. And Richard Blumenthal campaigns on being a Vietnam veteran
on a gigantic
who never
lie.
Served in Vietnam.
Gigantic lie.
A gigantic lie.
He repeated
but they get
times.
Away with it.
Oh, yeah. Right.
They get away with it, and it drives me crazy. All right, Zach's giving me the wrap-up science. We got to take a quick break, but don't go anywhere. Virginia Caruta from the Daily Caller going to stick around for another segment. So you stick around for another segment. It's the Weekend Report on FM News Talk 97.1. Welcome back to the Weekend Report. It's FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo here. Gabe Pfeiffer right there. And for Chris Arps for one more week. And sticking around for one more segment with us is Virginia Caruta, Associate Editor of the Daily Caller. And Virginia, we talked in the last segment a little bit about your most recent articles in the Daily Caller. Can you just kind of give us a quick setup, what those articles are about, and then we'll get into a little bit of a discussion here.
Okay. Well, we were kind of watching as after Kavanaugh was confirmed, there were continued protests, including, you know, people swarming the Supreme Court doors, you know, the 13-ton brass doors at the Supreme Court on their knees trying to claw them open. And somebody made the mistake on CNN of referring to this group of people as a mob. And Brooke Baldwin, among others, the anchor at the time, was shaking her head and saying, don't use that word, don't use that word. And he's like, no, but it is. And Mary Catherine Hamm from D.C. was also in that segment, and she said, but if it was the Tea Party, you'd be fine with that. And I remembered how many times the Tea Party was called mobs, racists, terrorists. I mean, you pick the epithet. We got it.
Yeah.
And I thought back to there was one protest that I went to personally in Forest Park. We were across the street from Tom Carnahan's house. Who he had a wind farm project deal. And Barack Obama, who was president at the time, it's 2011, was coming into town for a fundraiser dinner. And there were maybe 100 people out there. There was the movable police barricades and police officers on horseback. And the only interaction the protesters had with the police was telling jokes and helping the police move the barricades when they were asked to. So when you look at the difference between that
you
and
people are crazy
and protests where people are spitting on police officers, throwing things at police officers, threatening them and
urine.
Their families. Yes. I mean, take your pick. Mm-hmm. But it's so to call one group a mob And then, I mean, I took my kids to that thing. They were
right.
Now, there were some things that happened after I left that I, you know, I would not have wanted my kids to see. But Dana Lash was out there that day, and her kids were, there were some names thrown around by a group of people that came by to catch a glimpse of Obama as he went by, and there were some names thrown around directed at her children, who were at the time, I think, 10.
But that
and,
was not started
eight.
By the Tea Party.
No.
Group. It was by the other group.
Yeah.
No, Martin Baker was out there and he got quote unquote, verbally accosted.
Your quote unquote mob was not the ones inciting any sort of violence
We were just sitting out there. I mean, there were kids out there holding signs and American flags. It wasn't, it looked like a college Republican's picnic with a few grandparents.
But to your point, the media would classify that as a mob. There was a mob out there protesting.
Right.
But if you use the word mob and you apply it to what we saw on the Capitol earlier this week, people are like, oh, no.
Whoa, easy.
Easy. Let's not get crazy with this. I don't know if you saw Don Lemon. Don Lemon did the same thing.
Yeah.
I think to the same commentator who...
Yeah, it was Matt Lewis.
Yeah, Matt Lewis brought up the word mob, and Don Lemon was like, Matt, we've been over this.
we've
put this issue to bed. That was not a mob.
I'm not sure that I'm going to take it from Don Lemon because last night he was talking about
Kanye.
He invoked Kanye's dead mother.
I know.
Yeah.
Saying your mother is rolling in her grave over this because he had, he met with the president?
Yeah. I'm sure.
It's not like he was dragged there against his will. No.
That was complete. I saw that. Don Lemon said, I'm friends.
He called it a minstrel show too.
Yeah.
Hey, there's stuff in the hood that you don't talk about. You don't talk about somebody's mama.
No.
You don't talk about somebody. Yo, look.
That's not limited to the hood.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, true. But I'm just saying, my initial reaction to hearing that was like, look, I'm going to show up at your house and we're going to talk this out. And when I say talk, I don't really mean talk. So it's the reaction from guys like Don Lemon, the reaction from all these different commentators who, I heard one actually, refer to the M word mob as a racialized term even. And I'm like, wait, since when? Because, last time it was thugs, right? Now it's mob. So the definition keeps expanding now. So it's going to include everything that we can rightly associate with the bad actions of these people, right?
I kind of mentioned this in the last segment about extremism is not the way to... gain favor for whatever issue you are out there campaigning for. And I would say that same thing, that same thought applies to that violent style of protesting.
Yeah.
You're not going to change anybody's mind when people are watching those protests.
Right.
The people in the middle that are a little undecided or don't, kind of think that maybe the protesters have a point, but also see the other side and they're kind of they're trying to figure out what side they're going to go with. When they see people, like you said, clawing at the 13-ton doors of the Supreme Court.
Banging on them with their open hands.
Yeah, and like and
chanting.
Just absolutely, just showing this unhinged behavior. That's not the team that I want to be on. No. People that are trying to decide, they go...
If you go back to Ferguson for a minute, if you're not sure, how you feel about the problems of, police brutality or what. I mean, obviously, nobody likes police brutality, right?
Right.
But if you're not really sure, you're watching the protests on TV, you're reading the news reports, you're getting, reading the Twitter feed, seeing what people are saying, and then. Oh, wait, you burned down your own city. Yeah. Let me reconsider your point.
Right, yeah, right.
Yeah. No.
And if anybody would have been down there,
I'll tell you what,
if anybody would have been down there, we talked a minute ago about some of the crazy things that people were saying to police officers. Those police officers in Ferguson, particularly, I've said this many times on the air, so forgive me for being a broken record, but particularly the black police officers that were on patrol in Ferguson during those protests, the things that were said and threatened to those the vile comments, threats that they got from those protesters were if you were not used to that, if you are completely unfamiliar with that type of atmosphere or protest, you would just be shocked.
Yeah, it's frightening.
Well, they went out to protest police brutality, and instead they delivered a primer in police restraint.
Yeah, exactly. Because you're down there, and you see this happening, and it's just words, mind you. Now, there were times where bottles of fluid would fly into the police lines and things like that. But, you know, no rational person would have had any problem with one of those police officers decking one of those people that said something.
Like, well,
but they didn't.
You know,
but those officers didn't.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
showed, like you said, Virginia, it was a class. It was a master class in police restraint and police behavior.
Yep.
Because it's got to be very difficult to stand there and hear somebody threaten not just you, but your family, question your upbringing, question your loyalty and all this stuff. It's absolutely crazy. But I stick to that when the people in the middle, when people who are undecided see that behavior, it's a giant turnoff.
Yeah.
It is not how to get, like when I was covering the Jason Stockley protests, I was on the, I was doing a live call into the Dave Glover Show. And I said, I don't know how blocking stopping somebody from driving home from work is going to get your point across.
Right.
Like, hey, I'm like, trying to drive down the street and get home from work, but these protesters just got in the street and won't let me drive. I think that I'm gonna join their cause. Like, that is not how that works. People now whatever you're protesting, I freaking hate you and I hate your cause because you're not letting me drive home right now. You're not changing minds with that behavior.
Yeah. On that note, do you know about the Black Fridays thing now that's supposed to be happening? It supposedly started last Friday.
Yes.
And it's going on until Election Day. Women are going to wear all black on Fridays and walk out of their places of business, schools, etc. at 3 p.m. For what reason, I don't know. Solidarity. Alyssa Milano is now pushing this because that's a fairly good indicator that it's a waste of time.
Yeah.
But
she's important.
I mean, I understand that she cares about people and that she wants to be involved, but she's
the worst.
An expert at picking the wrong horse.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. But so this idea that, I mean, how many people are going to succeed in actually raising awareness for whatever they're trying to raise awareness for now? And how many of them are just going to piss off their teachers and bosses?
Right. Exactly right.
Yeah.
Exactly right. And to go back to Kanye too, because that's a fascinating. That's a fascinating spectacle we saw on all sides this week. But you can't. Don Lemon talking about Kanye's dead mother and all these people coming out and calling him all these names and crazy. And look, I'm not here to say that I agree with everything Kanye West has ever done or said, but I do know this, that if a black person was displaying that exact same intensity and frenetic message for a Democrat and a Republican pundit or show host were to come out and say all the
uneducated, crazy
flip test. Here we go.
Well, they loved him when he said George Bush didn't care about black people.
Loved him.
Yeah,
they did.
I love how somebody asked about that in the room. Did you see his comments? Because somebody in the room asked him about that, and
I don't remember.
He walked it back. He said I was brainwashed basically into thinking that everything was about racial hatred.
Yeah.
So it was a whole thing. It was great.
I particularly liked his defense of the Second Amendment.
It's like, what about all the guns in Chicago? It's the bad guys with guns.
Yeah, it's the illegal guns.
He just left it there. It was great.
There was I think this person's name is Bakary Sellers, one of the pundits on Don Lemon's show this week.
Talking about.
Yeah, who said Kanye West is what happens when Negroes don't read.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
Are you kidding me?
I think my
Could you imagine a conservative saying that? What would the backlash? They would lose everything. They would lose their job, their career.
Is it Dyson,
and probably rightfully so.
Michael Eric Dyson, maybe?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
He was on this last night on MSNBC. He called it what happened in the White House yesterday. He called it white supremacy through ventriloquism, because a black man is saying it, but it's white supremacy coming out.
Yeah,
that's like, unbelievable.
Really,
it's ridiculous. Oh,
it's
my.
And that's acceptable as long as the target is right of center.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
Because if not, forget about it. Yeah, Zach's giving us a sign. Got to get going. Virginia, before we let you go, tell folks again where they can check out the articles about the M word, the mob. And just you in general, how they can follow you on social media, read your stuff, all that good stuff.
Okay. The articles and many others are at thedailycaller.com, and I am at VA Cruda on Twitter.
All right. Very good. Virginia Cruda, hope to have you back again very soon. Thank you so much for joining us for these first couple segments of the Weekend Report, which continues next. State Rep Nick Schroer is going to be joining us in studio. The next segment, we're going to talk about Clean Missouri. We're going to talk about his proposal to bring the XFL to St. Louis. So stick around for that. It is the Weekend Report on FM News Talk 97.1. Welcome back to the Weekend Report. It's FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo and Gabe Pfeiffer in for week number two, in for Chris Arps, who will be back next week. This time, I promise.
Yeah.
Dealing with a little family business, but he will be back next week. Gabe Pfeiffer, a.k.a. St. John the Philosopher, gracious enough to join us again this week. Zach Factor, of course, in studio. And now joining us, our good friend, Missouri State Rep Nick Schroer is in studio. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am well. Can't complain at all. You, my friend, are a busy man these days.
Yes.
Had you on the Annie Fry Show earlier this week talking about Clean Missouri. That's one of the things I want to talk to you about.
Dirty Mo.
Yeah, Dirty Mo. I like that. I like that you have stolen that label away from the Democrats, who are so good at labeling things to make them sound good, and changed it
games,
to Dirty Mo. I like it. I love it.
Yeah.
Also, you sent a letter a couple weeks ago to Vince McMahon and the XFL about trying to bring a team to St. Louis. So let's start there. Let's talk about that. You sent the letter proposing that St. Louis get one of these XFL teams. Have you heard anything back from the letter that you sent? And do you have any news about the XFL? Are we getting any closer to getting that team here in St. Louis?
So the response that I received via Twitter, via social media, after I put the press release out, the XFL actually responded. They shared the tweet, and I'm not too in tune with the terminology for retweeting. I don't know.
Yeah, right.
But they retweeted my tweet. And they said that they're very enthused with our market support. And since then, I know that they've announced that they're trimming it down to the eight teams. They're going to announce within the next couple weeks, I believe. They're going to announce this fall. So I don't know if they're using the weather in St. Louis, because that could change tomorrow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What fall technically is. But they're going to announce it, eight teams. I know Stan Kroenke and Vince McMahon have butted heads in the XFL industry.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Yes, with the WWE. So I'm hoping the letter that I sent, and I called the office, I think it was yesterday, Friday, to see if we had any news, if he could reach out to me, because I know the XFL just, I think it was this week, sent out, hey, here's your last ditch effort. If you were a city that wants this team, let us know why you guys should be picked.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my letter pretty much summed it up. I think everybody knowing the history of St. Louis from wrestling at the Chase started here.
Yeah.
Ric Flair, Hogan, all those big top name guys started here. So the support that we've given to soccer, and now we've heard the news of the MLS, to golf, mm-hmm. PGA, and the turnout has been amazing. I think, and I know that St. Louis being the massive sports town, we are going to come out if Vince McMahon and Mr. Luck, who's Andrew Luck's dad, who's involved in the XFL, something that we didn't have back then when the XFL actually started. We've got a good core of people that know how to run the business. I think we should be one of the top eight.
Do you have any fear, or do you think that the XFL, Vince McMahon and Mr. Luck would take into consideration this news about the MLS? I am certain that this town can support an MLS team and an XFL team and continue to support the Blues and the Cardinals just as much as, you know, I think that we have that type of sports city, no problem. However, Vince McMahon may not know that, or the people putting together the XFL.
That's why I
might
want them to come out too to know. Come to a Blues game. I mean, heck, one of the last Cardinals games I was at, it was during the Blues preseason, and you look around and there are people at the Cardinals games with Blues jerseys on because they're going to go
right there.
Yeah, exactly.
But
exactly.
To your point, yes, I know we can support an MLS team. We've had the support out there. You look at St. Louis FC, that's out at Soccer Park. They are filling the stadium every single night. And the XFL has announced the XFL is going to own all their teams as of right now, and they're going to use existing resources that are there. Very smart.
Yeah,
we don't need to build a huge museum to the team LA is doing, but use the resources that are there. We've got the Family Arena. We've got the Dome. And now we have this option of, hey, come here, use these resources now, and then tag team with, not to use a WWE term, but tag team with the MLS on their new stadium.
Yeah.
And figure that out.
That would be amazing.
Absolutely.
That would be a really good idea. But my fear is they're going to see that St. Louis is talking to a soccer team and, you know, like they would go, oh, they're probably going to get a soccer team. That's a third sport in St. Louis. Yeah. They probably can't support it.
They're going to think of a diluted market or something like that.
I hope that we can communicate that to the XFL that, you know, that we can handle all of this. And that's a great point about putting together the MLS and the XFL, because it was something I think brought up by Skip Weber a couple weeks ago. I was thinking about all these different places that we have in place to play football, but the XFL isn't, if I remember correctly, and I don't know if this is exactly how they're doing it again, but they're playing on an NFL-sized field.
Yeah.
So they need, like, the Dome, or they would need, like, an MLS stadium would be big enough, but they couldn't play it in places where they've played arena football in the past, like the Family Arena or other places.
Correct.
Otherwise, that would be a perfect fit. It was something I brought up, and I think it was Skip Weber that was like, yeah, but you can't play football in there. I was like, they do play football in there. Not this kind of football.
Not
they don't play
in
there. Hey, Gabe, I don't think I've ever gotten your thoughts on the XFL. Most of the people that we've had on this show, Skip Weber, myself, and others that we've talked to, obviously Representative Schroer, big supporters of it. Chris Arps is very skeptical about the XFL and about the town supporting it. Do you think that the town would support an XFL team?
Well, of all towns I've been in, St. Louis is one of those that it's kind of unique in that, you know, if you put St. Louis onto any sport, you know, you can have a marble throwing league and if it's got a, you know, a St. Louis logo, for some reason everybody around here gets really ginned up about it.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's nothing I've ever experienced in another town before. St. Louis is very unique in that. So
look at the PGA when the PGA was here.
Yeah.
We had no skin in the game, and it was just golf. Professional golfers coming out.
Right.
And you had Tiger Woods looking around saying, I've never seen any other city come out and support us like this.
Yeah.
They don't even have anybody. We were cheering for a guy from KU.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So, yeah, I agree.
Closest guy. Yeah, it was like, who's from the Midwest? Him?
Yeah.
He's our guy.
All right.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
we just pick a team. We pick a guy. We pick whoever, and we say, okay, we're behind you. And we're not just behind you. We're behind you 150%. Yeah. We're going to buy the jerseys.
Yeah.
You're going to walk around with the koozies. You know, we're all in. And I think, you know, any sports team that wants to come to St. Louis is going to get that kind of love.
Yeah.
Nick, do you know if the XFL is completely making these decisions on their own, or are there groups from – I just remember the circus that surrounded the Rams leaving and how there were these groups that were put together by the city to make these proposals to try to get the team to stay. And there were these, you know, big teams of people put together in order to, you know, lobby the league and all that. Is there a group in St. Louis that's trying to reach out to the XFL besides, you know, lawmakers like yourself that are, you know, obviously asking to come? But, you know, like, you know, these people that can promise, you know, tax breaks and stadiums and all this kind of stuff. Is there a group like that in St. Louis, or is the XFL not even interested in that? They're just they're just kind of picking their own cities on their own. Do you know?
Well, I know
how
the XFL has a board that's looking into it. They've even said, "Hey, the executive boards are looking into these 30 something cities. We're going to dwindle it down." I know the American Football Association, whatever it was, it almost came here. And they're starting in 2020.
Yeah,
they were negotiating with people from leaders in the city of St. Louis and leaders of the Dome, and it just didn't work out because of scheduling conflicts. So. No, I think they're actually starting in 2019. That's why it didn't work out.
Yeah.
So XFL starting in 2020. I know that there have been executives from the Dome speaking with somebody from the XFL. I know that there are leaders in the city of St. Louis speaking with people in the XFL. I don't know if it's a one group effort or if it's kind of like me, where it's sporadic, and I've just urged everybody on social media just to push forward and send letters, send tweets, send whatever it is to the XFL, letting them know how we will support. But now I think with the leadership of the stadium and the MLS package with the enterprise people, I think they should be calling out there saying, hey, we got to fill this stadium.
Right.
And I know that the mayor out here has indicated that there are going to be some tax incentives put on to things that are bought, T-shirts, merchandise, food within the stadium. So you don't pay the tax if you're not going into the stadium. And I think the way that they are going to actually increase the costs that taxes are coming into the coffers of the city is to get another league to come in and when the MLS is not playing. So I would hope if they are going to do the due diligence for the people out here, I would hope the leaders in the city of St. Louis are doing that.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
I have no skin in the game as far as it is here in the city of St. Louis since I represent St. Charles County.
Right.
But I'm a sports fan and I represent the people of Missouri. Mm-hmm. And we are sports fans.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Definitely.
And you know what? I think there is a large segment of the population of this community that would support the XFL just to stick it to the like just to prove.
You know what? I think you're right.
You know, just to prove that we can support a football team and it, however,
well,
whatever level it's on, like we will prove that we can support a football team and make it successful, financially successful. I don't know about winning, you know, the games, but a financially successful endeavor just to prove it and stick it up Kroenke's.
Yeah. And that's what I think the animosity between you know Vince McMahon and Kroenke in the past. I think this could be the icing on the cake. If you can look at it and say, oh, Kroenke, a team ain't going to succeed here. You ain't going to make money here.
Right.
Well, guess what?
Oh,
here's
yeah?
the St. Lunatics or whoever, whatever name they're going to be.
Yeah.
And we will succeed.
And we didn't have to build a $20 million stadium or not a billion dollar stadium.
Right, yeah, for real.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And we're still making a whole bunch
of
money.
We were even coming out when the Rams, you know, they were conspiring to throw this team like the Cleveland Indians in Major League. The ownership was trying to kill the team, but we still kept coming out.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And guess what? They're in L.A. and succeeding now when everybody's, you know, not combining their efforts together to get them moved out of St. Louis. But, I want a football team here.
All right, let's talk about Clean Missouri a little bit.
Dirty Mo.
Dirty Mo. I like it.
Say no to Dirty Mo.
That's right.
Oh, wow.
That's
brilliant.
Is on the, it's on it's the good. Ballot. It's Proposition 1. Is that correct?
Yeah, Amendment 1.
Amendment 1, yes.
So after, wherever you are in the state of Missouri, after your elected officials are on there, your countywide officials, your judges, the first thing that you're going to see after that is Amendment 1. And Amendment 1, it's going to talk about redistricting. That's what all this is about. That's why it's the top thing on the ballot. When you look at Amendment 1, it's about redistricting. It's got some window dressing as far as lobbyist gift bans, things that we've tried to do for the past 2 years since I've been up there. The first thing that we passed out of the House was lobbyist gift bans, ethics reform, trying to clean house. But there was one guy in the Senate that killed it, said, I'm going to filibuster it if it doesn't include this, 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 and this. Well, guess where he's at now? Pushing for Clean Missouri. He was up there for half of my lifetime, 16 years. Didn't do squat on ethics reform, and now he's supporting Clean Missouri because of it.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing! And now one thing we were talking about before we even got started was the new push from the Democratic side.
Yes.
You know, a number of Democrats who are coming out against Clean Missouri. Tell us a little bit about what you've been experiencing there.
So the Conservative Caucus, which I'm a member of, very close with the Black Caucus in the House, and they've been coming out knowing that this is going to Amendment 1, if it passes, is going to take out the minorities. The minority representation in the House. As of Friday, and I've got the article here pulled up by the Kansas City Star, which most of my conservative friends have labeled the Kansas City Red Star.
Mm-hmm.
They have an article from Jane Duker, who is a known Democrat. In the article, she talks about she is a Democrat. And just an excerpt from it, she says, I am a lifelong Democrat and have spent most of my adult life in Missouri policy and politics. I'm all for structural change that would make elections more competitive and hopefully net more Democratic seats. And she talks about it first blush, yada, yada, yada. But the article is titled, Clean Missouri Could Undo Years of Minority Progress in Jefferson
yeah.
City.
Mm-hmm.
On Thursday.
If Jane Duker is coming out of Kansas.
Yes. And that's what you're seeing. You're seeing
she's
more
she's not
and more.
Like a centrist liberal. Like, she's not like
she
a Democrat with some Republican leanings. She's all the way. And yeah.
Well, another one is Maria Chappelle Nadal.
Yeah, exactly.
Who is... you know, had her name in the news, Fox News, CNN, yeah. for tweeting that she wishes, you know, Trump was dead.
But she realizes that Clean Missouri, the redistricting part of it, will hurt African-American representation in the state of Missouri.
And the reason that's going to happen is they're going to take the segment of St. Louis County, St. Louis City, where the pockets of Democrats are, and they're going to chop those up into little tiny pieces and insert them in Montgomery County,
right.
Warren County. So what you're going to see are these long, skinny districts paid for by George Soros, Planned Parenthood, NARAL, which is the abortion activists in Missouri, and ACLU, all these other ones that are funneled with dark money. They're behind it because they're going to cut up these sections to make what is a conservative district, nothing gerrymandering because of the current process in Missouri. And let's get this straight. A lot of people say this is gerrymandering. No, what we have in Missouri is what a lot of states are moving to get away from gerrymandering, and that's a bipartisan committee. Half of it is Republicans, half of it is Democrats, but in order to agree on a district, 70% need to agree. Mm-hmm. If you don't agree, guess where they're kicking it? Our nonpartisan courts.
Right.
And the courts, just this last time, were the ones that redrew the district. So
yep.
The Black Caucus is saying, we've seen Maria Chappelle Nadal, we've seen with me on Thursday with a colleague of mine, which I don't agree on everything, and it's Democrat Courtney Curtis. Mm-hmm. He came in, and he's even said, this is going to hurt. It's going to result, if Amendment 1 passes, in less minority representation in the state legislature. So vote no on Dirty Mo. Vote no on Amendment 1.
Yeah,
that's right.
Vote no on Amendment 1. That is exactly right. And last piece of that is, as we've talked about, that part of this also is trying to get the only sitting Democrat that holds statewide office, which is currently Nicole Galloway, the state auditor, Dirty Mo, Amendment 1, puts the state auditor in charge of drawing these districts, which is... But what does
the auditor have to do with...
Exactly. But it does make... But it does make, just as a safety net, it does make that state auditor race in November an important race as well, with Sondra McDowell, who's been on this show a couple times, who's the Republican running against Nicole Galloway.
Very impressive lady.
Yeah. So if, you know, if you vote for Sondra as well and somehow Amendment 1 passes, at least try to get that auditor position away from the Democrats.
Yeah. Right.
And Sondra would then also be able to stop that part of Clean Missouri, or at least that, you know, drawing those crazy districts, because it would be her in charge of the districts instead of the Democrats.
Yeah.
So two things to really look at on that ballot, the state auditor race and Amendment 1.
Definitely.
So definitely want to keep an eye on those. We'll talk about all of those things on the November ballot in the weeks to come, and I'm sure we'll have State Rep Nick Schroer in studio again with us soon. Before we let you go, tell people all your social media, websites, any way to follow you.
If anybody wants to combat me on Dirty Mo, you can reach out. You can get my social medias on my website. Site www.nick4rep, all spelled out, .com. My Twitter handle, which I believe everybody in the studio here has, is Nick B. Schroer, S-C-H-R-O-E-R. And everything's on there that you need to get a hold of me.
All
so
right.
If you want to debate, if you want to throw down about Dirty Mo, let's go.
Yeah, bring your A game. He's hardcore, man.
Heck yeah.
You gotta come with it.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
I like it. State Rep Nick Schroer, thanks so much for stopping by. We will see you again very soon.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Kind of take a quick break, but got a whole nother hour of the Weekend Report coming next. Don't go anywhere. It's FM News Talk 97.1. Welcome back to the Weekend Report. It's FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo here, Zach Factor, producer of The Stars in the studio, and Gabe Pfeiffer, a.k.a. St. John the Philosopher, in for Chris Arps for one more week. Thanks again my friend, for joining
thanks
us.
Thanks for asking me, man.
We just wrapped up the first hour of the Weekend Report. Go back and check that out at 971talk.com. Click on podcasts. You'll see all the fine programs here on the radio station. Click on the Weekend Report and download that podcast absolutely free. You can listen to it on the website right there if you want to, or you can download it for free, take it with you, and check out our discussion with Virginia Cruda. She spent most of that first hour with us talking about all kinds of things. Her new articles in the Daily Caller about the word mob and how the Democrats and the liberals are now not allowing that to be a term used when they are protesting. Not allowed to call them mobs. It is the new M word. That is right. We also talked about Kanye West and the spectacle that surrounded him at the White House this week. And we also talked last hour with Nick Schroer, State Rep Nick Schroer, most State Rep Nick Schroer, and talked to him about Clean Missouri and the XFL and a couple other things. So if you missed those interviews, missed those discussions, or just want to hear them again, 971talk.com. Click on podcasts. Click on the Weekend Report. Download the podcast absolutely free. Gabe is, like we've said, hosts a YouTube show called St. John the Philosopher. For folks that maybe missed it a little bit earlier, just remind people what they get on your YouTube channel and why they would be interested in watching your videos.
All right. Yeah. Well, I try to do a relatively comprehensive look at any particular issue, but, you know, within a 10 to 15 minute frame. So, you know, it's something that you can just kind of throw on and watch really quickly. You can listen to it, but it's even more fun to watch, I think, just because I try to throw in a lot of drops from movies and things, just references that pop into my head about these things. And just so we can have a little more fun with some of the more serious topics, but yeah, I try to talk about those kind of things. One of my favorites is the In Defense of Donald Trump. I
think
that's a fun one. My sister actually just texted me about it. She says that one was amazing. So there you go. So
yeah. No, it's great stuff. Politics, religion.
And culture.
Culture, yeah.
I talk about why The Last Jedi is a horrible movie that speaks to the failings of this current generation.
Yeah, which is an amazing episode. And then this most recent one.
Weaponized victimhood.
Weaponized victimhood, which we've seen a lot of lately.
Oh, yeah.
It really is great stuff. I love that it is. I've talked about this with Dave Glover and others on this station before when we talk about podcasts or YouTube shows, things that we watch. What are we interested in? And I've said before that the things that I'm interested in when I'm listening to a podcast or watching a YouTube show, I either want something like just like mind numbing, like just dull, like dumb, silly,
yep,
not important, time filling. Like, I'm a professional wrestling fan, so I like to listen to professional wrestling podcasts because it's just a complete deviation from my otherwise, you know, very news heavy, serious world. So I either want silliness or I want in the weeds, deep discussions. And you don't get necessarily like all the way in the weeds, but it is a very insightful, fairly deep discussion. But you, like you said, you keep it to 10 or 15 minutes, which means I'm not making this giant commitment to to listen to an hour's worth of stuff. So
right.
It's really great stuff. I highly recommend it, guys. Go check out St. John the Philosopher on YouTube, and you will see why Gabe Pfeiffer is becoming such a big part of the radio station here, because we love the way he thinks, and I can't endorse that show enough. Let's do a little more week in review as we start hour number two of the Weekend Report. Wanted to get your thoughts on this, Gabe.
Yeah.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez tweeted earlier this week. Don't know if you saw this or not.
I think I did.
The tweet said, "It's well past time we eliminate the Electoral College, a shadow of slavery's power on America today that undermines our nation as a democratic republic." What is she talking about? Okay.
This is what happens when socialists don't read.
I've heard I'm familiar with the argument against the Electoral College. One man, one person, one vote,
right,
majority wins. okay, I understand that argument. I don't agree with it,
right,
but I understand it. I did not know the electoral college was part of slavery. What is?
Yeah,
is there a piece of history that I just didn't learn? Or
I don't know. I kind of feel like she's getting it mixed up with the 3/5 clause, you know, which is completely different.
It's completely different.
And most people even get that one wrong too, because they look at it as I'm only 3/5 of the person, but it's kind of the indicative of the lack of understanding about America's history and how the ideological lens by which a lot of, you know, socialists and leftists look at American history changes the way they actually interpret what actually happened. So they have to add isms onto things that probably didn't have those things attached, and they changed the meaning of things like the 3/5 clause. Like, you know, that was a protection against giving Southern states an outsized level of representation in the government by saying 3/5, because they shouldn't have been counted at all, because slaves don't have rights, so they shouldn't be counted towards your representation model. Mm-hmm. So you know. So the way if we had actually won that fight, if the abolitionist side had actually won that fight,
mm-hmm.
and gotten slaves counted as zero, then the argument today would be, oh, well, those people didn't even want to count us as people. We didn't want to count you towards
as
the
Southern people, because then you would have lost more rights.
You would never have gotten your rights back.
Right, exactly.
So it's amazing.
Yeah.
And so the Electoral College thing, like you said, it's something to
The Electoral College protects...
It protects minorities.
Yeah, it protects smaller groups. It protects... Otherwise, why wouldn't you just camp as a president if you're running for a national office? Why would you care about voters in Missouri?
Right. You wouldn't.
You wouldn't. You would go to the biggest cities. Mm-hmm. You would appeal to those people,
yep.
because you would go to the mass population centers,
yep.
to try to get as many votes as possible. Why would anybody care what anybody had to say in Wyoming or Montana?
You'd never
or
have
Alaska
a rally. You'd never
or,
have a rally
yeah.
in any Midwestern state.
No. No.
Ever again.
No. So anybody that is against the Electoral College that doesn't live in New York or Los Angeles or Chicago, you're cheating yourself.
Yeah.
You're limiting your own voice. You're taking right. away your own power.
Yep. I mean, and historically, the idea of direct democracy, where it's entirely majority rules, is basically it's a government of the mob.
Yeah.
That's literally how it was described in history, because it's true. That's exactly how it worked. You get enough people together and, you know, you gin them up, and that's how you win.
Right.
So imagine trying to get abolition things through when the majority of white people in the country said, I don't care about black people.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, it's that Electoral Jeez. College, man.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Right.
one more topic that I wanted to get your thoughts on before we run out of time in this segment.
Yep.
University of Illinois, the main campus, Urbana-Champaign, is launching a new course examining President Donald Trump's impact on democracy and the free press. Okay, that's an interesting class. You got my interest. Maybe I'll take that class because I think the president has, you know, definitely changed the game. The state's flagship university will offer Trumpaganda.
Yeah.
And then here's the name of the class. This is the name of the freaking class. Trumpaganda, the war on facts, press, and democracy. The war on democracy. That's the name of this freaking class.
Yeah.
The war on facts, the press, and democracy. It's an 8-week course running through mid-December. The course will examine his administration's, this is a quote, disinformation campaign. According to the university's course description, students will be guided through Trump's running war with the mainstream news media and its implications for democracy and a free press. From name-calling to discrediting opponents to calling out the media for what he terms fake news. This is a class in a college, and yeah. not in like some private little socialist college. At the University of Illinois.
Right. Yeah. Flip test that one.
Oh, flip test that one.
Yeah.
A class about Obama.
Obamanomics. the exploration of how Obama's
horrible, how he ruined the country.
You know, economic policies are ruining opportunity.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I could play that all day.
Obamacare Uganda. How he destroyed health care in this country.
And lied to us while he did it.
Yeah, and lied to us while he did it. Exactly. You think that would fly at any university anywhere? No.
And, of course, I wouldn't want it to. Even though it would probably agree with my view of the thing, I wouldn't want it to.
No.
I really hope I'm going to do a video on this, how I want the education bubble to pop so we can get back to real education.
Yeah. Amen to that. And I don't know what happened. Universities used to be the bastion of free speech and open
intellectual
thought
discourse
and discussion and debate.
Mm-hmm.
And now it is the most close-minded. Academia is now the most close-minded anti-free speech area in the country. I mean, seriously, it's like dissenting opinion is not allowed.
What's amazing is, you know, you can send a completely normal and regular kid into gifted kid into a college or a university, and they'll come out unable to think.
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
It is amazing. All right. We got to take a quick break. We got lots more Weekend Report to come. We're going to have a little fun in the next segment. Our good buddy Skip Weber is here. He'll be joining us live in the studio, and we will have another episode of America's favorite game show, The Weird News Challenge.
Oh, yeah.
Don't go anywhere. It is the Weekend Report on FM News Talk 97.1. If you lose me, you lose everything. She said if you love me. Hello, and welcome back to the Weekend Report. It's FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo in studio with Gabe Pfeiffer, who's in for one more week for Chris Arps, who will be back next week. Zach Factor, producer of The Stars, in the studio. And joining us now, as he does each and every week at this time, our good friend Skip Weber from Weber Chevrolet. How are you?
I'm doing well. I think that's my theme song. That's Perry's theme song for me.
Is that the one that he always plays?
That's Perry and the Wailers.
Yeah, that is Perry and the Wailers. That's exactly right.
So I think that's become my going up to the plate music.
Yes, yes. Yeah, your walk-up music.
Yeah.
We are going to I am going to have Perry create a Weird News Challenge theme song.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's going to be great. I can't wait for that. It is that time of the week. This is the time that America waits for with bated breath. Every single week, it is America's favorite game show. The home edition is almost complete.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
You should see it in stores.
Yeah.
Hopefully in time for Christmas.
It's in beta testing right now.
Yeah, it's in beta testing right now. That's exactly
it. It'll be on the
Zach's
Asinon
in charge of the
radio.
He's leading that project.
Section.
Putting together the home edition. We hope to have it on. We're talking to Target right now.
Right,
we have a deal that we're about to finalize. Or hopefully get it on shelves at all Target stores across the country in time for the holidays.
Yeah, I heard Sears had it lined up.
Kind
of went under.
Well,
so
you know,
that delayed the opening.
Right.
Could have saved them, but
that's why we got to go. It's way. Can't put all your eggs in one basket. Got to talk.
KB Toys was going to stock it on the shelf.
Yeah, I understand. We have a meeting with Walmart next week.
So
we're gonna try to get Toys R Us. That didn't work out.
KB and Toys R Us both had big shipments ordered, and they had to cancel those.
KB Toys at Jamestown Mall when I was a kid, that was the spot.
Yeah,
it was
magical.
I agree.
Right?
You'd walk by. Totally agree.
Oh, and then, gone.
Yeah.
I am surprised. I get, you know, when we have seen the rise and fall of things like video stores, you know, Blockbuster Video over the years, I completely understand that, and I also completely understand that, you know, like Sunday or Saturday morning cartoons, not a thing anymore because there's so many
cartoon 24/7
channels.
Cartoons,
cable,
you can get it,
YouTube.
You can turn on Disney Junior or whatever, or, you know, all these. But toy stores, it seemed like that was something that would be around forever.
Yeah.
Right. Like kids are always kids, and I understand that you can shop for toys at other stores like Targets and Walmarts
or
and things like that.
I think a lot of it is online. I mean, the kids see the commercials and see.
But for a kid, there's nothing better than
walking into
a toy store.
I agree.
I
love walking into a toy store with my kids or grandkids.
Right, right. You would think that would still be something
Watch their eyes get big these dinner plates
yeah,
as they look
think
at all the
there'd still be a market for that. You'd still think that that could be a successful business model, but yeah. I guess not.
No.
I'm shocked the toy stores are not a viable business
but
anymore.
But you also have to think, though, that you know today's kids, if they didn't grow up with toy stores, then they don't share that same excitement of going to the store.
Yeah, but they –
I guess.
You take a kid into – you. A kid who's never been into a toy store, you bring them to one toy store.
They're going
to
explode.
And they're going to, their life has changed.
Right.
Well, I mean, those specialty toy stores seem to be doing all right. Like with the doll, I can't remember, the American Girl dolls.
Oh, American Girl, yeah.
They've got the lines around the block, too, still, don't they?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I don't know.
Yeah, all right.
I
could
have figured it out.
Anyway, so we won't get the, you know, we won't be in any toy stores with the home edition of the Weird News Challenge, but we will be on shelves, hopefully by Christmas time. It is America's favorite game show, the Weekend Report Weird News Challenge, and this is episode number 18. This is how it works. I'm going to ask three questions of real news stories that have happened in the last week or so, and if these guys get the question right, they get a point. If they get it wrong, there is no penalty for that because we encourage participation here on the Weird News Challenge. If there is a tie after the three questions, there is a tiebreaker, a tiebreak system that ensures a victor. Last week, we played without the Katie Fitzpatrick rule in effect.
Yes.
Right.
Too much enjoyment of all listeners, I believe.
Oh yeah,
yeah. The feedback
all
I received.
All the feedback was good.
All right. So is that? Are we gonna go?
I have
sans.
This is the least amount of confidence I've had coming into the Weird News Challenge.
Yeah, I think the last time you said that you won.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't remember if that. But even with that, I would be delighted if the Katie Fitzpatrick rule was put on hold because it just doesn't make sense.
Is that all right?
I agree.
All right. We will, for the second week in a row.
Not very confident.
We will suspend
my news listening ability over the last 5 days.
I kind of feel like I need to dial back expectations on me, too. I had a good first run, but we'll see.
Zach, sounds like this could be your week.
We'll see.
Have you still not won? You're still not off the... Come on, Zach.
No. Has Chris won?
Chris, yeah.
Chris has won a bunch.
He's won a bunch. He's still behind Katie, who hasn't been on the show for months. Because she built up such a huge lead. But yes.
She's a news junkie.
Yes.
Well, we don't play every week, so that's
that's
the other
a good
thing
point.
Too, so.
That's a good point. All right, so here we go. America's favorite.
Test the buzzers.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. That's a good point. Zach, test your buzzer, please.
Do-do-do-do.
Okay.
Ding, 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 ding.
Skip's got the dang dings.
Whoop, whoop.
Game Fiverr has the sound of the police.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Weekend Report, Weird News Challenge, episode number 18. Question number one. No Katie Fitzpatrick rule. A woman known as the world's hottest grandma got in a little trouble with Instagram this week. 48-year-old Gina Stewart from Australia is a famous Instagram model, but she got a warning from the app about a picture and a picture removed recently. Why did the world's hottest grandma get a picture removed from Instagram?
Ding, 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 ding. Because she was topless. Too risque.
You know what?
So close. Give it to him.
I'm going to give it to you.
Just give it to him.
Because what? Do you know the answer?
No, I just.
You don't like me giving.
Dang it.
She was nude.
Fully.
She was nude. We will give you that point.
Topless is.
Nothing was showing.
Yeah.
She had like
she
her
covered.
Hair was covering her bits and pieces and things like that. But yes, she was nude.
Wow.
And that is not allowed. And she was, I think briefly suspended from Instagram and had a picture removed and got a warning that if she continues this behavior, she could be removed altogether. World's
scandalous.
World's hottest grandma.
And now she advertises too hot for Instagram.
That's right. All right. Skip Weber has a point.
I don't know.
Skip Weber has a point. However,
yeah, on the board.
On the board.
However, I can hear the controversy.
No,
from the people
listening. I don't think
you got it.
No,
topless and nude. Come on.
Hey, a nude person is topless.
All right, that's a good point. That's a good point. They're also barefoot. And if you would have said barefoot, I would have.
Yeah, that's a good point. Good point. That's a good point.
All right, here we go. Question number two. Most of us are familiar with a few dating terms like ghosting, but there's new ones popping up all the time. The newest dating term is sneeting. If someone is sneeting, what are they doing? Sneeting. S-N-E-A-T-I-N-G. Sneeting.
S-N-E-A-T-I-N-G.
S-N-E-A-T-I-N-G. Sneeting. No points for wrong answers.
I'm going to go for it. Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Oh, dang it.
I'm going to say that you are, if you're sneeting, then you are eating with a member of the opposite sex.
I'm not going to give you that
snacking.
One. Not going to give you that one.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Oh, man.
It means I'm close, guys.
Yeah, it sounds like it was
wow,
on the right
wow,
track.
Wow, okay.
Guys, any Gabe, Zach, want to take a shot at it?
I'll take it. Or
yeah, no points for wrong answers.
All right.
No negative.
I'm going to stick with the eating.
Yeah.
But it's during a certain activity.
Nope. Oh. I like where your head's at.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, wow.
I guess
it's all on me. I mean, I got to participate, right?
Yeah.
So,
you don't have to.
Actually, I'm wondering if the eating part is actually cheating. So you're doing something with cheating, and it's got to be on an app or something. Oh gosh.
You're not in the right ballpark.
No, I'm not even in the ballpark. Okay, never mind.
If you are sneeting, you are going on dates with somebody just to get free meals.
Oh.
Wow. Okay.
That's the only reason that you're going on the date.
You better get some crowd control.
Preferably at nice
restaurants.
When
you didn't give me credit for that. Get some crowd control in the studio.
I don't know. That would have... If I would have given you credit for that, you would have won the game
on two shaky answers.
All right, here we go. Question number three. If Skip gets it, he wins.
All right.
If nobody gets it, Skip wins. Yeah. And if one of you guys get it, we'll head to the tiebreaker.
Oh, man.
All right, question number three. There's a new fad that's caught on over the last few years where one type of food is made to taste like another type of food. For example, sriracha-flavored Oreo cookies. Well, now that fad is going to the next level, and foods are being made to taste like non-food items. A company in the UK just started marketing a new type of potato chips. I'll give you a hint. The chips are being marketed to be eaten during the Christmas season. What do these potato chips taste like?
Christmas trees?
That is correct.
Wow.
Christmas tree flavored potato
chips.
Oh
my gosh. I was gonna
What is
buzz
wrong
in.
With people? Can't you eat potato? I like potato chips. I don't want them to taste like
I don't want them to taste like a tree.
What is wrong with people?
Perfect follow up.
Christmas.
I mean, I'm going to interject here. Just
yeah, let's hear it.
There
let's
is
go.
Nothing. Nothing worse or more un-American than any other flavor of Oreo cookie.
Yeah.
It's the worst. If people offer me that, I would rather take the whole bag of them and throw them on the sewer.
Well, why do you want a cookie? I didn't make that up. Skip is fired up.
Oreo, you guys don't understand.
You said sriracha
that's real.
Oreos. I know.
That's
I
real.
Know. That's reminding me of how that's the most outrageous thing this is going.
Why would you want
what
any
is
cookie
wrong with,
to taste like sriracha?
Or orange filling.
Right.
Or any other thing. It is a, look.
You're an Oreo
it's like
originalist.
This old
right?
Seinfeld. Black and white living together in the cookie. If we look to the cookie.
Look to the cookie.
Yeah. Come
yes.
on.
I love that.
So
I do too.
Christmas tree flavored potato chips. The main ingredient is pine salt seasoning, and they are said to have a piney, woodsy taste. I would guess they would have a piney, woodsy taste if they're supposed to taste like Christmas trees.
Their motto is, I bet you only want to eat one.
Yeah. We dare you to eat one.
More than one.
Yeah. Oh, my
That's
gosh.
Terrible.
All right. Zach Factor and Skip Weber have Uh-oh. Qualified for the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
Gabe, unfortunately, you have to sit this one out.
That's all right.
Zach, here's the question. Before we go, getting his
I'm going to give you the honors of choosing. Do you want to, because it's always this number, do you want to go first or second?
I'll go first.
Okay.
I'll go first.
That's a bad move.
No, not necessarily. Depends. Some of them.
That's a good
if it's a fairly easy one, you go, oh my gosh, you just took the one. Okay.
All right, here we go. Tiebreaker. We will have a winner at the end of this. Closest guest wins. A new survey done for the Halloween season asked people about their biggest fears and their beliefs in things like ghosts. According to these survey results, what percentage of Americans say they have seen a ghost?
Wow.
What percentage of Americans say they have seen a ghost?
Well, I'm going to go with a number that I think is strong. I don't know how strong it is, but I'm going to say 75.
Okay. Zach's got 75%. I know what you're going to say.
I know exactly what you're going to say.
Hold on.
Just because you're saying that, I'm going to say.
Hold on. Don't say it yet. Hold on. I'm going to write down what he's going to say.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm going to go with.
Go ahead.
72%.
Okay. I knew you were going to do that. I knew 74 is what I wrote down.
I know that.
Because then he gets everything below 75.
Yeah. 72%.
The answer? 60%.
Yes!
Skip Weber.
With that on the board. Boom.
Wow, that is two times in a row.
Price is
felt.
Right game.
And I wasn't just saying that. I really didn't. So I don't know. Maybe there is such a thing as being overconfident.
I will say this. Zach had the most impressive answer of the day to get the Christmas tree.
Agreed.
Oh, yeah. Agreed. Yeah, for real.
Yeah.
That was nice.
I mean, I don't know. To me, that's kind of synonymous. Like, I mean,
yeah, Christmas and Christmas trees.
Yeah, because there's already like
non-food, right? Non-food Christmas.
Yeah, but still,
could have been candy cane flavored potato chips.
But that's food.
Oh yeah, I did say non-food. That's exactly right. Yeah, that's a good point. All right.
He's just smarter.
And by the way,
this
study also said that 40% of people say that their pet has seen a ghost. I don't know how they would know that. I don't know how they know that their pet has seen a ghost.
Because they keep running and chasing things that aren't there.
Right.
They're like, oh, it must be a ghost. As opposed to
he's barking
like
at the hallway.
Shaggy,
so he's barking at a ghost.
Shaggy knows who his pet is. Shaggy, knows what Scooby-Doo sees.
Oh, that's a good point.
Scooby.
He communicates better than most dogs I know. He's a better communicator than most dogs I know. All right. I love it when it goes the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a break so we can bring down the atmosphere in the room. Everybody's buzzing for another exciting episode of the Weird News Challenge. Don't go anywhere. More Week in Report coming next. It's FM News Talk 97.1. Sneak around and not get caught. This is the Wawa song.
Yes, exactly.
You gotta wait for the bow. Right, it's coming. Yeah. Oh, you gotta wait. Yeah. Can't talk until you hear the bow.
That's the second of my plate appearance songs every
this
week.
This is the backup.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's the same two every week. It has been at least for a while. Yeah.
It is. All right. Welcome back to the Weekend Report. It's FM News Talk 97.1. Everybody coming down from a very exciting episode of the Weird News Challenge. Skip Weber pulling it off in the tiebreak round.
Yeah.
What would you have said? Did you have a number in your head, Gabe?
I was closer to the 40%. Yeah.
Skip said in the break that if he would have went first, he would have probably guessed in the
40 or 45%
range.
Because I think there's a lot of people that I've always perceived, a lot of people believe in ghosts. And but how much? 60 people say they've seen one. That's just kind of.
I will say this: if you would have said 45 and he would have stuck with 75, you would have still won because you guys would have been exactly the same amount apart, 15 points apart, and it's closest to. And if it's a tie like that, it's the under
okay.
that wins.
But I might have gone with 40, so that's
Then you would have lost.
Yeah, so yeah,
then
lost.
You would have lost
exactly.
So close.
But here, if Zach had come out swinging with 50, I don't know which way. I probably would have gone 49 and lost.
Yeah, staked out that middle position.
That dead middle. That's what I'm saying. Sometimes it's not that not a disadvantage.
Is there a number too low, Skip? Like if I would have said 12%.
Oh, I'm easily
13, and
kill it.
Okay.
My point is that there is some strategy, but it can backfire to try to want to go second.
Yeah. Right.
Like I said, I could have been, then I'm flipping a coin, going either direction, playing that way, or. And there's also been times when the guess has been high and the answer has been higher.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words,
that's
somebody
true.
Said 80 and we did something with how many people like French fries or something like that.
Yeah, and it was like 98. 98%. Yeah, it was something crazy.
So that's the thing. So you got to be careful. So there's strategy, but there's also common sense and also thinking about the question to begin with.
Yeah. We are almost, halfway through October? What is happening right now at Weber Chevrolet?
What an exciting sell down we're having this year because the history of the automotive business means many of the listeners when they were younger remember going to see the new cars for the first time under tarps or with the windows blacked out or whatever. And then it evolved into them being revealed on TV, and then, of course, now digital. But now it's a step beyond that. We don't get them all at the same time. I've had 2019s in a couple of my models for months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really all that we're selling on the Equinox and Traverses right now is 19s. So they already have good rebates, good incentives from Detroit. So we're able to get, you know, put our discount on it and make it a really good deal. Now, take it the other way, your favorite vehicle, the Silverado.
Yep.
We've got double cabs and crew cabs, 2019, brand new vehicle, gorgeous truck.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait for them to really start moving.
Right.
But we're still selling the 18s.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be receiving 18s through the end of the year.
And
on the crew cab.
Wow. And as
brand new.
Yeah. And we've talked about that 2018 because of the 19s with the full redesign inside and out. You're still, like you said, I didn't even know you were still receiving them. I knew you still had them.
They're still coming
brand new 2018. And because the 19 is a complete redesign, what you guys are able to offer in discounts on those 18s is astounding.
Approaching $15,000.
That's insane.
And here's the thing.
$15,000 off
of that's higher than ever. But when you get to like $12,000 or something like that in the sell down in previous years or whatever, you get, okay, $12,000. Let's see what colors they have left. Let's see if they have any with, you know, leather seats left or whatever. Or here's a $8,000 off a Malibu for the only time all year. Let's see if they have any that are automatics or whatever. No, I got them all. I've got as many Silverado crew cabs as I've had all year, and if I sell a huge number this month, I still have the same number next month. They're still coming in.
That's amazing.
So to have that kind of selection and to have that much off on the vehicle with that, you know, is honestly, and I know people use this, and he's trying to sell vehicles. Never seen it before.
Yeah.
Because you, like I said, usually you have to sacrifice your ability to pick what you want for the huge, huge deal, the sell down. That's not the case with the Silverados this year.
Mm-hmm. I told my wife about that last week, and I said, too bad we're not in the market for a truck. And she said, well,
yes, we are. We could be.
Yeah, maybe we are.
We could be. Maybe we are. Yeah. So that's an enticing deal. It really is.
It depends. There's a lot of people out there. I'm not asking anybody to change their habits on this, but there's a lot of people out there that kind of resign themselves to the fact that they're always going to have a car payment.
Right.
So if you go for a 4, 5, 6 year loan, that and you want to trade every 3, 4, or 5 years, you know, or pay it off and then trade in. Well, to me, I would say when you have something this big, if you're not really necessarily ready yet, is it really not worth the chance to see maybe you can get into a 2 or 3 year newer vehicle and keep your payment the same or make it lower?
Yeah,
that's amazing.
So we do that with people all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They say, well, you know, I still owe this much. Yeah, I know. But look, guess what? Because our incentives and our discounts are so big, you're going to have equity in your down payment, and I probably can keep your payment the same.
Yeah, and those 19s are sweet. They are really cool looking.
Yeah,
but I've driven the 18s. And those 18s are beasts.
Yeah,
they are beautiful, beautiful trucks.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So to be able to get that, a brand new 2018 for that price with those deals.
Oh yeah,
I mean, if you're a truck guy and you are in the market for a truck, you're cheating yourself, in my opinion. And you don't at least go check it out.
Right. And if you carve out the big bucks, you just spend the savings on another car.
Right.
You can get two. It's like a freaking 2-for-1 deal. Oh my gosh.
So I do want to make sure that it's not confusing. Not every single one of our crew cabs is that big. There's different packages that offer bigger discounts and different packages that have more markup.
But they all have discounts.
But you're looking for, as far as crew cabs go, you're looking for probably at least $10,000 or $11,000 or $12,000 off.
So it's not,
you know, you may say, hey, I really like that one. Well, that doesn't have enough equipment for me to give you the max discount, but I can give you $13,000 off that one, and that price will still be lower than the $15,000 off this other one over here. So believe me, it's not just to make sure that there's no confusion in that.
Yeah, no.
You'd like to be above board with that, but still, it's still unprecedented levels
of
discount.
No, a $10,000 or $11,000 discount is still
it's a five-figure discount.
Exactly.
Come on.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Gosh. Wow.
Wanted to, while we had a second here, look at a couple other silly stories that almost made the Weird News Challenge this week. We just Skip went on a bit of a tangent about foods not tasting like foods
tasting
sriracha flavored Oreo cookies and things like that. Where do you guys fall on a story like this. There's a ice cream chain on the West Coast called Salt and Straw, and they've just created two new ice cream flavors for Halloween.
Uh-oh.
One that's made with blood. There's blood in the ice cream. And one that's made with insects.
That's made with what?
Insects. The blood flavor ice cream uses actual pig's blood mixed in with spiced ice cream. The insect flavor uses chocolate-covered crickets and mealworms mixed into a green tea ice cream.
But why? 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 Blood.
Blood. Oh, pig's blood.
Why?
Halloween.
I mean, at the very least,
blood
I could,
bugs.
I could you could almost get away making an excuse for the bugs one. Just because, you know, there are cultures around the world that they have, you know, they eat bugs.
Yeah, I've
like, you know,
big
what?
Excuse for the
I've
bugs.
Eaten, you know, I've eaten a chocolate covered cricket before.
Yeah. They've you been, can make
people
an
have brought them into
one.
The studio and I dare you to take a you know, and
it's
I've
like,
done that.
I'm not in, but you can make an excuse for it.
Right.
But the blood one? Pig's blood.
That's like, this is guaranteed safe pig's blood. Like, right. How do you guarantee that?
Here, listen.
I'm going to go back to what I said last time. What is wrong with people?
What the actual
I know people
eat. That's the actual.
You know, I know people eat insects. I get it.
Yeah, exactly.
I've tried some different things before. Chocolate covered this. There's places where the ants are a delicacy because they taste like, you know, citrus and all that. You still don't put them in ice cream.
Yeah. Then there's okay? that. Then
I
there's
mean,
that.
Come on. I don't care if it's your favorite. Here, you know what? I love roast beef, prime ribs. Great.
The prime rib ice cream?
Prime rib ice cream? No. I mean,
all right.
You know, shrimp scampi.
Around the room.
Yeah.
Would you rather eat a bag?
A bag. Oh boy.
Of Christmas tree flavored potato chips. You gotta eat the whole bag. A bag of Christmas tree flavored potato chips or three bites of pig's blood ice cream.
Oh man.
Which one are you doing? Skip?
I'm going Christmas tree ice cream.
Get it? Christmas tree potato chips. Not eating blood.
I'm weird about ice cream in the first place. There's only about four flavors I like, and I can
pig's
eat gallons and gallons of them, but nothing that has the word pig or blood.
So
is
you're
in,
eating
is
a bag
of flavors.
Of
a bag of Christmas
flavored
tree flavored.
Chips. What about
I'm
you?
Eating a forest of trees.
Chips all day. Those Christmas tree chips.
Same thing. Chips all day.
Not eating the blood.
No.
What about you?
I'd probably eat the blood.
Really?
Oh,
the chips aren't doing
I'd
it
I'd probably
for you?
Eat the blood.
See,
just because it's less. It's three bites and I'm done. I can get out of there.
Maybe. I don't know.
There is that,
I guess
too.
It depends on how bad the Christmas tree
flavor
is.
Give me a chance. Let me taste one chip first. Because of the volume of it, I'll go three bites of
the ice cream.
If it's really.
I mean.
Wow. One more real quick story. We're almost out of time, but I wanted to get this one in while we had Gabe in the room because Gabe is an elder at the church. Among his many titles of being a rocket scientist and a YouTube host, he's also a leader at the church. Story out of Peoria, Illinois, Walmart. This is a couple Thursdays ago. A 30-year-old woman, police were called on her because she shoplifted the Bible. When police got there, they asked her. They asked them why she had stolen the Bible, and she said that she's trying to turn her life around and become more Christian.
That you know what
so
that's
she
that's,
stole.
That's actually kind of
Bible.
Amazing. It's almost the picture of somebody who's desperately in need of grace,
right?
And that's, exactly going
that's
right.
not
right.
the way to go about it.
Definitely not. I'm not endorsing going to steal the Bible. Please,
let me just say right now, anybody that is getting ready to do that, give me a call at the office. I'll buy you.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll buy you
same.
The copy of the
I was
New Testament.
Just about to say that. It's like, hey, you could contact us at the church. We will exactly. give you. We have
you
some
could
on
probably
hand.
Contact any church.
Exactly.
They'll be like,
you could go to
the church.
Say, I'm trying to turn my life
you
around.
You find a building with a cross on it. They're going to have one in it. And if you say, I need it, they're going to give it to you.
Right.
I mean, you could probably also start to walk off with the pew Bible and no one's going to complain.
Yeah, it's like, right. Well, right. They probably need it. Yeah, exactly. I hope they read it and bring it back.
Yeah, I just thought that was a funny, amazing story.
Oh, my gosh.
Before we go, Gabe, talk about your YouTube show, St. John the Philosopher on YouTube. Latest shows up there. Tell folks what they can go watch and anything that you're working on right now.
Oh, definitely. It's St. John the Philosopher on YouTube. Just type it in the search there. You'll find it. I do in-depth, relatively short videos on religion, culture, and politics. The latest one up right now is Weaponized Victimhood, where I talk about what's going on.
That's a great episode.
Right now in our culture and everything. And the one I'm working on that's coming up is a primer on how to consume news in the 21st century.
Ooh.
Because I think we do it wrong right now.
Great stuff. St. John
I'm
the
looking
Philosopher.
Forward to the pig blood.
Yeah, my video on the
pig, where we all tasting pig blood tasting ice cream together.
That's you know right. What? That's would make an amazing good. Video.
Well, here, do me a favor, okay?
Okay.
Get out there and preach the anti-food change in flavors.
Actually, you know what? I might do.
No more Oreos that are anything.
Just a quick one. Yeah. Just a quick one.
Yeah. I mean, you got a following going out there. Let's start somewhere.
Okay.
Let's stop this behavior.
I like it. Check it out. St. John the Philosopher on YouTube. Gabe has been in for Chris for the last couple weeks, and we appreciate that so much. I'm sure we'll have you back on the show.
Thank you, sir.
Again, really soon. Skip, just coming up in here in a few minutes at 7:30. There is the number one music show on a talk station in the world, Close Encounters, coming up. What is on today's show?
I'll give you a hint about my selection.
Yeah,
the
I like
one,
it.
My selection is a song by Thin Lizzy.
Okay.
One of the great rockin' songs, yes. Rockin' groups.
Yeah.
But it's not Jailbreak.
Okay.
Or Boys Are Back in Town.
Yeah.
Or the Cowboy Song.
Hmm.
It's yet another terrific song from the album Jailbreak.
I like it.
So actually, and the list I've seen that we're playing today has got a couple of really good songs, and not maybe quite as obscure as usual.
There you go.
Even though the obscure ones are awesome when he picks them. So
Close Encounters starts at 7:30 with Skip Weber and Mark Close. And go to WeberChevrolet.com if you want to check out any of those great deals we were talking about a little bit earlier, especially if you're a truck guy. I wasn't kidding. If you are a truck guy at all thinking about getting a new truck, those discounts on the 2018s are sickening. It's crazy.
Yeah. And we will take care of you. And as you know, when you get into our fold,
yeah.
You experience second to none service.
Yep, absolutely.
And so that's another,
yep.
Another thing we always like to brag about.
That is exactly right. So that is going to do it for another edition of the Weekend Report. I am Tony Colombo for Gabe Pfeiffer and Zach Factor and Skip Weber. Thank you so much for listening to another edition of the Weekend Report. We'll see you next Saturday right back here at 5 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.